It's very much a privilege to come and to share with you again from the Word of God, and to be part of a service with the music, the songs, the prayers, the things that people are contributing into the life of our church, so that we can come close to God. God promised, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. And so we know that God is here with us, and that is such an encouragement for us. It's you can tell by my fine physique, it's been many years since I've been to a gym. But when I first walked into a gym and looked at all the different equipment that was there, it was a bit intimidating, a bit overpowering, really. What am I doing here? Type of questions. I had no idea how to use the equipment, all the pulleys and levers and weights that were attached. I had no idea whether you went to push or pull or lift or what to do. But thankfully, I had a trainer who showed me how to use the equipment. And he went round different bits of the equipment with me. He would sit there and go through the exercise, demonstrate what needed to be done, and then he would watch me as I did it, and he would sort of correct my technique, which was never flash, but he didn't say too much about that. But he showed me how to do it, pointed out the mistakes that I was making. Now, suppose you were a spiritual trainer for a new Christian or some new Christians, and they're about to start the Christian life. They're quite keen to get going with the Christian life, but they're not really sure what it is that they're meant to do. So you're their trainer. What are you going to say to them? What advice are you going to give to them? What would you model for them? So I'm not going to ask you to say anything out loud, but I wonder, could you just think for a moment of one thing that you think would be important for that young Christian? Have you got something in mind? Something you know that would be important for a young Christian? On my, just keep that in mind as we go through the service. On my tablet, I have an app, a Royal Cam, a webcam that allows me to look at the royal family any time, day or night. The Royal Albatross family. I don't know why, but I'm fascinated with the albatross, and I think they're a lovely, lovely bird. And so I watch this through the season, and it starts with a pair of birds with the egg. They take turns looking after the egg. It hatches, and it comes up. It's just this little fluffy ball of whiteness. It stays that way for some time, but you start to see a little bit of color come in, and then it fledges, and the soft downy feathers change into the adult feathers, and then you watch, and it starts to stretch its wings. Now, if you want to see this, you better get the app really quick, because the last time I looked, this chick had spread its wings, and as it does that, there's always a breeze around the heads, and it just starts to pick up and lift, and you can just sort of see it faltering. But one of these days, it's going to spread its wings, catch the wind, and it's just going to go, and it's going to be out at sea for months and months. And then I've got to wait a whole new season for a whole new egg and chick and watch this all again. It's really, really interesting. In fact, I'll say to you, I didn't say to the other service, but I as I was preparing this, I put it on just to make sure that the bird was still there. And then I heard voices. I've never heard voices before. And I kept looking over, hearing these voices. And two of the volunteers were going around and just sort of checking. Now, this may be too much information, but I think they were picking up albatross droppings. In part because the parent birds are bringing back in the food plastic. And the chicks are eating plastic. And I just feel awful. about that. That's going off topic. But anyway, so the bird will spread its wings and it will fly. And as we read in Isaiah about God's people, they will soar on wings like eagles. Have you ever done that? As a Christian in your spirit, have you ever done that? Soared on wings like eagles. When we put our faith in Jesus, God allows us to soar spiritually. But how do we grow from that fledgling, just new to faith, not quite sure what to do with our faith, into this being able to soar in faith with God? You know, there's something truly wonderful about new life in Christ when we first put our faith in Jesus. Not just then, experience it at other times as well, but in those first days, in those first moments, when faith first takes flight, so uplifting. Some people speak about it's like a weight of sin is lifted from them. Some say it's a dramatic change where now I see things so differently. I've never seen the world this way before, or the scriptures this way before. Some are overcome with a sense of being loved, and that having God's arms around them, under them, and over them, being loved by God in a way they've never ever felt loved before. Some speak of experiencing a sense of freedom that's like coming out of a prison, out of darkness, and they find this deep peace that they have never experienced before. And not uncommonly, some don't feel anything at all. They don't feel any different. And they sort of wonder, has anything really changed? But the reality is it has. And their lives have changed. And God is doing things with them also. Our spiritual disciplines are important at any time in our Christian lives. Certainly when we're just beginning the journey. Spiritual disciplines, the things you were thinking of, are important for us to be able to say to young Christians, not just to say, but perhaps to demonstrate and go alongside them in those first parts of the journey to help them have a good start and to get up to speed in the Christian life. The Apostle Paul likened the Christian life to a race. And he said, run in such a way as to get the prize. Now, when we're involved in a race, usually there's only one prize, only one person gets it. The great thing about the Christian life is we all get the prize, we all get to enjoy the eternal life, we all get to go and to be with God in time to come, and we're promised that Christ will have a crown to give to those that he loves. And how marvelous will that be? But we start this race, how do we reach that point? How do we progress through life in order to get up to speed with what God is calling us to? Paul speaks of this like sports training, drawing on ideas that were familiar to the people of his day, familiar to us. If you're serious about winning, then you're not only going to training, you go into strict training. You look after what you're going to eat. You look after when you're going to sleep. You look after the exercise that you get. And in a sense, you're not haphazard about this. Maybe one day I'll read the Bible. Maybe not another. You just dedicate yourself to it. If you're serious about winning this race, and you learn to pace yourself to build up strength. Now, perhaps the most important thing, I'm not sure how many of you, this would have come to mind. But one of the most important things to tell a brand new Christian is that it's about relationship. It's not so much about rules and regulations. It's about a relationship. It's about meeting God, knowing God, walking with God, and also knowing his people. And we enter into this relationship when we put our faith in Jesus, we repent of our sin, we accept the forgiveness that he brings, we receive his Spirit, and we seek to follow him. And much of our Christian lives then and now and in the future will be fostering and developing the relationship that we have with God and with his people. We become, in a sense, students of Jesus, followers of Jesus. And that is not just about figuring out what Jesus said, but it's about figuring out how to be with him, how to stay close to him, how to walk through life with him. And this relationship will change us. It will transform us. Amazingly, God works by his Spirit within us to make us the best that we can be. I have no claim to this, no reason why I should think God should do this for me with my life and my life experience. But God loves me. And God has decided, not only did he want me to become his child, but he wants to be with me every moment of every day and help me along that road. And this is true for all of us and for every one of us who will put our faith in Christ. In theological terms, God, this is spoken about as sanctification, this process of becoming holy. I can't put up my hand and say I'm there. I know I'm on the journey. I know that God is working in me for that. And I think that's true of all of us. None of us are yet perfect. God is at work in each of our lives. He's training us up. He's working in us. He's enriching our lives, bringing about an abundance of fruit by the Spirit, which is tasty for us and tasty for others. And as a part of this, Paul says, live in step with the Spirit. Live with the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. And this is the pace that we want to find. Not running ahead of God, not lagging behind God, but with God's Spirit graciously in our hearts and in our lives, keeping that in step with the Spirit. If we get ahead and God sort of changes direction, how long will it be before we figure that out? If we're behind and God changes direction, how long will it be before we catch up and see where he's at? We need to keep in step with the Spirit. So this is our relationship with God. And the second part is our relationship with God's people. You know, we are lumpy, bumpy people. As I said, God is still at work in us. Church is hard work, isn't it? Because sometimes the people there will offend us. Sometimes the people in church will say the wrong thing. Sometimes they won't quite do what it is we expect them to do. And the reality is we're just the same. Church is hard work because we're all people in this together and God is working in us to fix us up. There's no perfection here. In a sense, we are a place where we are saved and being saved. A normal part of this is to be baptized. When Peter preached to the first Christians in Jerusalem, they said to him, "What must we do to be saved?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized. Every one of you, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." See, baptism is normal, it's expected, it's a formative part of our salvation. Last week we read about the Ethiopian eunuch who heard the gospel for the first time from Philip, who, seeing some water, said, "Look, here's water, why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders for the chariot to stop, and both he and Philip got out and went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Through baptism, we signal not only that we belong to God, which is so very, very important, we signal also that we belong to his people, the baptized people of God. We become brothers and sisters in this together. Today, with the baptism of little Noah, our hope and our prayer for him is that in time he will come to believe and put his own faith in Jesus. But maybe some of you have not been baptized. If you have not been baptized, if you love the Lord, if you trust in Jesus, then I urge you, be baptized. Don't wait. Be baptized. And together with one another, we grow as Christians. This is what was found in the early church. We grow together. Now, some of the things that you would have thought about when I asked you that question at the beginning, what do you say to a young Christian? You would say, well, you need to come to church regularly, frequently. You need to join with the family. You need to be with the Christian family, with your brothers and sisters, so that you can learn how to participate in the worship of God. As we come together and we're led in song or we're led in prayer, we hear the scriptures being read. You need to be here with God's people. And we need this. We need to be doing this regularly together and developing personal faith exercises, Bible reading and prayer. And there are materials here, the Daily Bread booklet that will help you to read the Bible. The Bible is just a treasure trove, such wonderful things in there if you're willing to dig a little deeper for the history, for the faith stories, for the poetry, the prophecy, the amazing insights into the character and person of God and learn about. And if you're just beginning, then also I would encourage you, read from our church library. Read books from the library. These things will help to open you up. Or come to a prayer meeting. We have three regular prayer meetings, Saturday morning, Thursday morning, and Sunday morning before the service at Epsom. Plus we have seasons of prayer. We've got the season of prayer on Tuesdays at 12:30. Going for another few weeks. Come along and join in prayer, because it's really important to be together, brothers and sisters, together in prayer. And join a growth group. Join a small group where you can get together with people and you can build up a relationship of trust, so that you can bring out your questions, the ones that you wouldn't want to ask everyone. But here's some people that you know you can trust, you've been walking with, you see their spiritual faith, and you say, well, you know, I know this might sound like a basic question, a silly question, but this is the thing that I want to know. And that loving growth group can help you with that, give you space to develop Christian friendship and learn together. Join a team. We've got lots of service teams, and they do lots of different things around the church. Join a team so that you can serve with the brothers and sisters in different ways and share your faith with others. As you discover the wonders of the relationship with Jesus, don't keep it to yourself. Share it with others with gentleness and respect, but speak it out. Speak it out. Speak out those words of faith. Tell people why Jesus is meaningful to you. Tell people you've been to church this week and you saw this lovely, beautiful little baby being baptized. Tell people about your faith and what it means to you. Share it with others. Of course, all of this applies not only to those new to faith, but to all of us. And as we do these things, we grow in faith. We listen, we discern God's voice. We enjoy and experience the worship of God. You know, you guys had me in tears this morning with those songs. As you draw near to God and just feel His presence so, so near. This is amazing. We should all be doing this and encouraging others to come along to soar in this spiritual rapture, amazing heights of joy and incredible inner peace, the delight of the eternal life, which doesn't begin when you die. It begins when you ask Jesus into your heart. And so we begin now this eternal life that's so wonderful. So, as we began, I asked, what would you recommend to someone who is new in faith? Can you remember what that was, what you were thinking about? Maybe Bible study, maybe prayer, maybe fellowship, maybe service or outreach. Can I ask you, are you applying that to your own life? Are you serious about those things in your life? Or might Jesus perhaps say to us, as He said to another church, I hold this against you. You've forsaken the first love, the love you had at first. You know, one of the cures for the loss of first love is to be among Christians who have just found it, and it's dripping from them. The zeal and the passion of new Christians is contagious. One of the greatest joys for any older, mature Christian is to have a new brother or sister join the family. A brand new, born-again believer who's enthusiastic about their faith. We know what happens in heaven, of course, when someone comes to faith. Jesus said, in the same way, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. You see, when someone comes to faith, God just rejoices. That's his heart desire. That's what he wants to see. And we as his people, and you all know it, don't you? When someone comes to faith, we rejoice with them. This is something wonderful because we know we have a new sister, a new brother throughout eternity. Well, I'm focusing on this series, New to Faith, for a number of reasons. Last week I mentioned the verse from Acts, which we read again today, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And I am looking for this, I'm working towards it, I'm praying for this as you are, that God will do in Grey Friars this wonderful thing of adding to our number daily those who are being saved. Next year, and some of you will know because we've started talking about this, we're going to do a course in February called Redemptive Family. And as we move towards that and we become increasingly invitational as a church, as we invite people to our church activities and services, as we develop confidence to have spiritual conversations with people, as we continue to witness to the truth of the gospel, then I think we will increasingly become a church where we see people coming to faith, where we are a church where conversion is normal. And this sermon series is both to remind us that people are coming to faith here at Grey Friars, and to prepare us as a people to help them as they come to and grow in faith. See, every week we have people coming among us who are not yet Christians, but who are sometimes close to making a decision to following Jesus. In this series, I want to give them that opportunity to come right up to that line of decision and to look across it and to see what's on the other side. I'm confident with a little bit of insight into the love, the peace, the joy, the hope that's nearly within their grasp, it will encourage some people to step across that line. And I know also there are some people here who are young in their faith. And I want them to be encouraged and to develop those good spiritual habits. And I know that there are some older Christians here who are mature in their faith. And sometimes we need just to be reminded again, we're still in the race. Because when you run for year after year after year after year in this race, sometimes we do become a little bit weary. And so Paul reminds us, don't become weary. Don't become weary in this. Don't become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And we hold to this hope of this harvest of reaping. I'm so encouraged by our senior members, and I mean really senior members. And I know that sometimes it's a struggle to get here, and sometimes you need friends or family to help you to be here. And your bodies may tire, but still you are untiringly faithful in your walk with the Lord. And in a physical sense, you may no longer be able to run. Goodness knows I can hardly run. But spiritually you sprint because you have this great endurance and you're an encouragement to us all. So we have from the youngest, from Noah to the oldest, and we have all the people of faith in between. As we go into this week, I want you to think about some things. What is the spiritual discipline that you wanted to recommend to others? And how have you benefited from that yourself? Reflect on that. What has really benefited you in your Christian life? And what is the spiritual discipline that you need to focus on this week? Maybe you are remembering prayer. Maybe you're remembering Bible study. But have you forgotten the growth groups? Or is this Christian service? Is this something you have forgotten and now you need to turn and give that a little bit more attention? What do you need this week in order to do well? And if you are new to the faith and would like to be baptized, or if you have never been baptized before, maybe you've been walking with the Lord for a while and for whatever reason you haven't been baptized, now's the time to do it. Speak to me or to Jay Choll. Or if you're already a Christian and would like to become a member of the church, Then again, speak to me or to J. Chol. Now I want to ask you a special question. Will you join me this week and pray that the Lord will add to our number daily those who are being saved? I know some of you do this already, but will you pray this with me each day of this week? Lord, bring among us those who are being saved. Well, as our music team come to lead us in worship, we're going to have an opportunity for those who would like some prayer. And maybe you've found yourself a bit tired or weary in the Christian race. Well, I've got some spiritual Holy Spirit that I can share with you in prayer. Or maybe there's a friend that you need prayer for. Or maybe there's something happening in your life you need prayer for. I'm just going to stand over there. Some of our others from the prayer team may come and join me. If anyone would like prayer, then do feel free to come and we will pray for you and lift you to the Lord.